Hello, everyone. Good morning, Australia. Good evening, US and Canada. And welcome to everyone across the world listening today. For all of you listening on live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitch, we have Payo in the background waiting to take your questions and comments and provide you with links and information about the show today. And don't remember, remember that you can subscribe to the YouTube channel and it will let you know when our next show is going live. And if you miss the live show, you can always catch up on the replays across Binge TV Networks USA, Hero Go TV Networks USA, and on the Tony TV channel app on all Roku, LG, and Samsung smart TVs across the planet. Now, we have another wonderful author with us today, but before I introduce her, just a quick word about the gorgeous Kez Wickham St. George, who is the creator of her own destiny, and she loves to inspire and nurture others to tell their stories. Her values are simple. When you touch a heart, you change a life. And by encouraging you to write and journal, her belief is you will not only add value to your own life, but the lives of others. Now, if you need help getting that book underway, or you need some coaching or mentoring around getting your book organized, then Kez is available for book mentoring. Just reach out and connect with her. The links are in the bottom of the chat box for anyone who's interested. Now, today's beautiful guest is the lovely Holly Rose Holland, which is a glorious name, I have to say. And she's one of our co-authors in the book, The Colors of Me. And she also has her own book called Keep Moving. Here's what you need to know about Holly. She is an intuitive author. We're going to ask her about that later. An international speaker, grief coach, former spouse, parent, and grief survivor. And while moving through the process of grief herself, she noticed that people often become stuck when processing death, difficult relationships, employment-related issues, and even changes within themselves. I have to agree, there's always a process of grief among all of those things and among all of those life situations. Now, Holly practices wellness through nature, natural products, and intuition, and travels the world to share her gifts. Holly's first book was called Keep Moving, Creating Life After Loss, and it was released in 2020. She's always loved writing and finds writing to be therapeutic for herself and others as a means of expressing grief and creating new life. Holly helps women get real, remember, express, action, and live. Holly's chapter in The Colors of Me is called Peeling Back the Layers. And her favorite quote, and I love this as well, Holly, gratitude turns what we have into enough. Just once more, gratitude turns what we have into enough. And it's an anonymous quote, but a very beautiful one. Good morning, Kez. Hello, Holly. Welcome to the show. Holly's all the way from Canada today, and Kez is camping somewhere, and we'll ask her about that in a moment. Kez, whereabouts are you in Western Australia?
I'm at a place called Margaret River, to the side of Margaret River, a place called Preveley Beach. It's called the wine country, wine and chocolate country. Yes. But I'm a non-drinker. So poor old hubby gets to taste that. And I taste the chocolates, though.
That sounds like a fair bargain to me. Kez, I'm going to hand over to you now to begin our chat with Holly. Holly, we're really glad to have you here. Thank you for jumping on the show today. I know it's a little late for you over there. Kez, first question's for you.
Okay. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning.
Lovely to see you again.
Thank you.
For the audience's sake, Holly and I met at an island at a place called Crom Castle. And I always knew that Holly and I would do something together. I just didn't know what. So, Holly, let's start at the very beginning and tell the audience about your journey so far.
Okay. Well, I had always wanted to write, as Tony mentioned, and I just hadn't taken that initiative to do it. And I happened to meet Karen McDermott through some online networking, and she told us about this opportunity to write at a castle. And she also really shared a lot with us about the fact that you can write in different genres and different things about, you know, perhaps you might use a different pen name, that kind of thing. And she just opened a lot of doors. So once I heard about that, I actually barely gave it a thought if I was going to go or not. It was like an immediate yes. And I had already talked with someone just a couple months prior that book was going to be written. So now here is the vehicle. And I just, that's where it began.
Jumped on board. Mm-hmm. But you were there for the a huge networking event as well. So you were there for a good 2.5 weeks, more or less, weren't you?
Yeah, I was there for the longer time. I always really enjoyed the networking. Like once we got into a lot of Zoom in this last bit of time, I actually had been using Zoom for quite a period, and I really enjoyed connecting with others. Mm. And so I spent that that time with those people, with the business, and made a lot of business connections. And I had also noticed there was a high tea coming up the next week, because I had initially signed up for that first event. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that high tea, I, of course, it piqued my interest. And so I reached out to Karen. And so that's how I ended up being there for that part as well.
Nice. It was lovely to meet you. I don't know if we got much writing done. There's a lot of laughter. I don't know if we got much writing done at all. There was a lot of joking and laughter and talking and chit-chat between us. I hardly got the chance to sit down and have a really good conversation with you, because we were all just so busy. We were all busy doing, you know. I think, you know, when they said walk the grounds, I think I got halfway around and I thought, this is just too big. I'm not going to do the whole thing. So, yeah, so Tony, over to you.
Holly, I love Kiz's story about Crom Castle. I'm hearing more and more about it each time we do an interview, and I'm like, I wish I, you know, had been there. I have this image in my head of the energy around Crom Castle and all of the writers and wonderful people that were there, a very creative experience. And speaking of creativity, energy and wellness, I know that you practice wellness and through nature and natural products. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience and how it's helped and what led you down that path as well?
You know, I had started with essential oils, so that was my original business, and that was why I was doing the networking. And the reason I did it in the first place, I actually had a cough that I was not able to get rid of. So you know how sometimes we start going through, I mean, I'm very much for traditional
yes.
methods, but I had tried all the things that they could think of, and really nothing really came up, but I still had this cough, and I mean, it lasted a long time, like 8 months.
Yeah.
So finally someone suggested giving some oils a try. Like I did get I had a prescription at one point, but it only lasted a very short period of time, and was very much driven by spring and fall. But lasted so long. Yeah. So anyway, that was why I ended up starting on the oils.
Yes. I think for many of us, oils have become so much part of our lives. I have a little selection right beside me. If I could turn the camera, I'd show you this little collection of oils that I keep. One of them in particular has, oh gosh, if I can get it. One of them has crystals in it. So I don't know if the audience can see that. It's got little crystals in it. And oils and oil based, and it's one called Manifest Greatness. And I have to say, when I'm feeling a little bit under the weather or a little bit down, this little oil with its crystals in it is fabulous, just on your wrist and off you go again. So I understand. And you've made that part of your practice now, Holly. Like most of us, including those natural products into your life has lots of benefits, doesn't it?
It does. Yes. Once I discovered some of the things that are added to our regular products, I was able to replace most, you know, the majority of things. Like I actually used to really enjoy going to a pharmacy and kind of some of those extra things that they had. And I don't go to them now. I have them. Yeah. They're in the oils, right?
Yes. And there's lots of natural supplements that you can use that help with lots of different things in life. And I think that combination that where the world is reaching, the combination between Western and alternative medicine, I think if we embrace equal parts of both, humanity will be much healthier, won't they?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. Like one thing was headaches. That used to be a common one of mine. I just find peppermint is amazing for and I'm not saying like they don't, it's not that it's a cure or it's not not a prevention, but it's something that will support, right?
Yes. And it's the support that is an important consideration for that, isn't it? Kez, you've got the next question, my dear.
I have. In the caravan, I had to write these down. I don't have them sitting on one day. You put me to work last night, Tony.
So sorry.
So, Holly, your first book is called Keep Moving, A Life After Loss. Now, I have read and reviewed that book, and I just found it extremely helpful, not for only for death in the family, but for things that if you know something's going to happen, you can prepare yourself for it. You know, nothing actually prepares yourself for the final act of someone passing, but it's like having those oils and those crystals beside you. You know that you've got support. Mm-hmm. And I'm an oil and crystal user as well. So knowing that, reading your book and knowing that there is support out there was really, really impressed me, because it's always one thing I've thought about, well, if something does happen to my beloved, what happens, you know, what do I do? And you made me write, I got the list together. And even though it was hard to write, I mean, a will, yes, you need, but the list of who do you contact? And you have somewhere, I forgot what page it was in your book, if you can just sit quietly with the deceased, just quietly, just for just 5-10 minutes, just to recognize it. You know, cheer their spirit on to wherever it goes, just tear it on, because you don't want it remaining. Some people believe it. There's no such thing, but I firmly believe that we have to go somewhere. We're not just the thing that happens in the world. Our spirit carries on. So when you it was a very stripped book. It was back to the bare bones of how you felt about grief. So what prompted you to tell it in book form instead of in story form? Like I'm talking about verbal story, which you actually go online anywhere and have your voice recorded, but you wrote it in book form, which I found extremely helpful. So what encouraged you to do that?
you know, I initially, it was going to be like, it was going to be a memoir at one point, but then once, I guess it has a bit of a, people feel that it has a bit of that flavor, but when Karen read my draft, she said, oh, this is a self-help book. And I think the reason is that I, in interacting with people, I was just noticing people would often reach out to me for advice or, you know, what they, should they do in various stages, whether they just had a diagnosis. Some had had a death for a long time prior. Mm. And I just thought, it seemed that people really didn't know what to do. And I think, too, people usually tell the part of the story that we're used to seeing, not the part where, like, I don't think it's uncommon for there to be some really tough emotions. Mm. Where, I mean, I don't mean the crying part, but I mean, there's often some anger, even before, there's before a death occurs. And I thought, like, telling it real, how it actually is, like, it's not really helpful, I don't feel, to sugarcoat it.
No, like, and you certainly didn't.
Yeah.
The one part in the book really impressed me, like, I believe that your marriage was quite a long marriage, and well done. Not a lot of us have long marriages these days. But you said you fell in love again with your husband, and I just thought that really touched me. You know, I was reading the book, and I thought, that's lovely. And then I read that part, and I thought, wow, how brave you are. Instead of saying goodbye, you actually made him feel that love to pass onward. That was just magic, that one sentence. I loved her.
Oh, thank you. Mm. Like, to me, that wasn't, I mean, there wasn't anything else to do. You know, I guess he could have taken a different approach, but not being me, I couldn't.
Mm. No, it's very brave. It was, you know, because a lot of us would think, would go back and think, oh, you did this and you did that and you did this and I did that. And, you know, a lot of blaming, but all you said was, and I fell in love with him again. And I just thought, wow, that's a very big journey, a very big journey for any woman that's been married for a long time. And we know what makes our men tick. We know what makes them tick over. We know what they don't like, what they do like. And thank goodness my husband can still surprise me. But, you know, when you said that, I just thought, wow, that's so open and honest that you were just, you know, and we all get to that stage. We're just in a marriage. We are married. You know, we forget to appreciate who we're married to and appreciate our own love that we can give as well. Because, you know, women are very giving creatures. So, yeah, that was a beautiful sentence. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Tony.
Holly, I love that you have the courage to talk about grief because it's very personal and quite individual. Can you tell, so some of that grief that you experienced has now been converted into some amazing services that you provide for people. Can you tell us about those services for people dealing with grief? And that's any sort of grief, isn't it, Holly?
Yes, it is. One thing I noticed about employment as well, you know, that's one, it's something that people don't talk about. Like, there were a lot of people I knew that were, like, laid off. And I'm thinking, like, even lately, such a change in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think people, they just don't know how to feel. Like, they... I think it's really common to take on guilt. You know, you think that it's your fault somehow.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, all the other things, you know, all of them, like even lifestyle, like I've had a lot of people, especially family of people that are terminal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They'll communicate that they'll tell me, you know, I really don't know where my family member is at. I just, You know, like they feel so lost. And in asking, they get that anger.
Yeah.
So it can, I mean, not, I'm not saying, I'm not generalizing, I'm not everyone, but yes. That is something, especially I find like kids have reached out to me yes. in that way. And yeah. So I had a group that we would meet in person. Now, this was, of course, before everything had changed. And actually, just prior to that, I had noticed that really getting together in person with a group was tough mm-hmm. for people. So I was yes. finding, for the most part, I would meet up with people one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And then I've still got a group open, but what I find is most people do better with the writing.
Mm. Yes.
You know, when I was writing myself, of course, both of you know, being authors, like how much you reveal mm. and how much you discover yes. on an author journey.
Yes.
I mean, as many people as I had talked to, I still was completely, I think we always think that we're different rather than the same as others. And
yes.
I couldn't believe what I discovered. And I started thinking maybe that's the key to people dealing with their grief. So mm-hmm. that's been working. Right now, most people are at the journaling stage, mm-hmm. but some mm-hmm. are starting to reach out more about they want to get going on a book.
Mm.
So we're going to be having some discussions before NaNoWriMo starts up again. I'm going to be doing it again for the third time. And yes. that is where most of the people joined in last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think quite a number of them are ready to start moving in a different direction now.
Mm.
So it's mm-hmm. it's exciting to see that. And I'm really happy for them. People yes. participate in at different levels. Yes. But I always say like they, you know, like you're it's what you need at the time.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Holly, the grief process takes different amounts of time for people, doesn't it? So some people might transverse through it relatively quickly, whereas some stay in that grief state for years, indeed. There's no right or wrong, is there? You know, it's an individual human experience and you have to go through that process and it takes the time that it takes. Do you find in your counselling that some people get stuck at certain stages?
They do. Yeah. It really depends. What I have found the most helpful is people that have some other goal in mind.
Uh-huh.
Like for myself, I was lucky to have my children being young.
Yeah.
They still had to go to school.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, I couldn't stay in bed. Like somebody actually asked me one time, they said, when do you think you're going to fall apart? And I'm like, that's really not an option. Like, I'm the surviving parent here. And,
yes.
you know, I know they
the
meant
kids.
Well.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was a little shocked. So yes. I said, you know, I mean, I just have to, you know, just keep going and just a day at a time, really. That's a cliche. Yeah. But really, it yeah. is. There's a lot of the time during the illness, especially.
Mm. Yes.
I remember one lady asked me, we were in a waiting room, and mm-hmm. she was much older than me. And it kind mm-hmm. of struck a chord with me because she began to ask me for all kinds of advice. And I was kind of going like, actually, I don't know any more about this than you. Thank you, though it was nice. And I said, you know, really, I think, she said, like, what are we going to do after? And I said, I think very much the same as now. We're probably going to be able to handle one day.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know I would look at our calendar, and my parents were with us most of the time. I was like, they didn't live here. They lived in another province, but they would come stay at our house, and they would drive the kids to any of their appointments or to hockey or soccer, whatever the sport was that was going at the time. And I would just make sure that I had somebody covering each kid. And then if we had appointments, you know, basically, and then, you know, just make sure we've got tomorrow handled, and then tomorrow we'll worry about the next day, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well done, Holly.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, grief is a huge thing. It's huge. And as you said, Holly, with the unemployed, you know, at the book launch on Saturday, I had two teenagers, different parents, and through mental health problems, started self-harming. So, again, I looked at the parents and they just shrugged their shoulders, and I thought, is that what it's come down to? You know, you just don't understand why your child is doing this. It really, you know, I really think reading a book like yours about the grief of losing your job, the grief of even having your loved ones, they can't go to school. I do think a book like yours would be of really big help to them.
Oh, thank you.
So, absolutely, Holly.
My next question to you, Holly, is now that you're a featured author, featured as in the word Colours of Me, how did you get included in this book?
Well, you actually invited me.
I did.
Yeah, via a very nice invitation that you and Michelle had reached out to a bunch of us.
Yeah.
And I was just so ecstatic. It was just so amazing. I mean, it's very exciting for me to be featured with so many of you.
Yeah.
And of course, because I knew quite a few people that were going to be in, I was getting excited, and I'm super excited to have met like Tony and a lot of other people that I didn't know before. Like, I love the author community. That's one thing I have to say. Yeah. When I left Crom Castle, like, I knew then I'm definitely going to be a published author. Yes. You know, like, but when I arrived, I knew Karen told us it's a magical place. You know, things, you know, you're going to be surprised. What's going to happen? It's going to be amazing. I was trying to kind of wrap my head around how is that really going to evolve? And after all those conversations with the authors that were there, I was like, wow, this is, I just felt at home.
Mm, I think we all did. You know, we sit around the dinner table at nighttime and that big long trestle table, and you'd have to go and help yourself to the food from the kitchen. And it was a battle to get how much food you wanted on your plate because everybody was hungry.
Yes.
It was a sharing, caring community. I too had the same situation. I was what they call a lone author. I didn't have a writing community. I didn't really want to associate with my local community because they were all learning and I was progressing, and they seemed to be stuck. And they all seemed, they really just wanted a bicky and a cup of tea and a chat about someone's book, and I wanted to write. So when I went, Karen invited me to go to the Crom Castle, and yeah, I thought about it. And then I said to my, you know, I'm just going. And he had a brother in Scotland. So it was a big trip for us because we went to Spain afterwards and we went to Dubai and all. We made it a real international trip that I had only had 5 days with you ladies over there, and you had seven. Well, most of the authors for the last week had 7 days. I was just blown away by the friendships I've made. Keeping in contact with each other and knowing where we're going and our stories, because we're all very different. Uh-huh. You know, going with, I just think the magic didn't happen like, oh, there's a magic wand, you know, wave it and have fairy dust. It's been a community of intelligent women all writing to feed their words to the world. Uh-huh. It's just been amazing. Uh-huh. And so when the invite went out to you, uh-huh, like Michelle created that little invite, and I did the words. So it was like, okay, let's send it out. It was like, I just knew who would accept. And, you know, there was three or four I was surprised at that did accept. But, yeah, again, we've built a community of authors that were all so different. Uh-huh. It's just amazing to belong to a writing, to have a tribe, uh-huh, that all love to write and all openly conversant about it is an amazing feeling. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, I just appreciate the invitation so much and the whole experience. Of course, everyone just worked along so well with each other. It's just a very seamless experience.
Mm. Well, Michelle and I worked in the background quite a bit. It was, we handballed each other quite a bit. It was like, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes. But it was fun. And Michelle and I have become the best of mates. That was a really nice thing about it. We've become the best of mates. So, we're going to do it again 2022 and see what comes out of that one. Yeah, we're going to do it again. Yeah. So, Tony.
Sorry, you go.
No.
I was just going to say, I've been watching the social media, and the last time I looked, The Colours of Me was sitting at number 6 in the new releases, Kez. Oh, it's now number 4. Did you know that, Holly? The Colours of Me is sitting at number 4.
I saw a post this morning about it. Yeah. Super excited.
That's pretty cool. I know. For the audience listening, Payo will put the link in the chat box. So The Colours of Me is available on Amazon worldwide, so US, Canada, UK, Australia, everywhere, and it's an amazing anthology of women's stories, inspirational, all different, and a great read, obviously, if we're sitting at number 4 and the book has only just been released. Holly, being part of the process of The Colours of Me was a lovely experience for myself as well. And that leads me to talk about the people wanting to write can always be part of an anthology or a series rather than sitting and writing a full book for the first time. When you compare those experiences between writing a book and writing a chapter, although they're different, they were still very creative processes for you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. They both were, very much so.
Fantastic. And back to the conversation we were having previously about grief, you've got some advice for the living, Holly. What would you like to tell them about grief and dying, and why is it important that people talk and think about this?
You know, like as we talked, as we mentioned already, we do all grieve differently. But the thing that I found mostly is that it's important to keep moving in some uh-huh. direction. Mm. So I know for myself, what I found is my perception was that it would be like a lot of things when you're working on them, you start out and you just yes. keep getting a little better and a little yeah. better. And that is not at all how grief works. So with grief, so I would find like sometimes you'd be several steps ahead. Then later, you take a couple steps back. Sometimes yeah. you end up farther back than where you started in the first place. Mm. Sometimes people will step to the side even. Mm. So really, it's just keeping going. Not getting just stuck in the one thing. Like I was talking about, you know, having the kids and needing to get out the door. If you don't have yeah. something like that, even like one other thing that I did was I renovated the house.
Oh my goodness.
Well,
houses, Polly.
And I didn't know how. I actually had to learn a lot of things. And of course, I hired people too. But you know, anything I could do, I did it myself. You know, if I could yeah. reach it, that was because I'm kind of short. Some things, the ceilings were a little high, you know, or yeah. things were heavy. You know, I'd have to get help. But I think if you do not have kids or you do not have a job that yeah. you must get right back to, a project like a renovation, it doesn't have to be a big one, but just something that yeah. you need to do to just keep at.
Keeps you going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. There's yeah. something that your hands are busy. Your mind's working, but your hands are busy. Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise, you just sit there like a numb carrot and you just don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that when I've had to grieve with my parents and my family, and I'm the last one, and it's saying goodbye is really hard.
Kizzy.
I am. I'm the one remaining Wiccan. Yeah.
Oh, so when I can, oh,
dear.
So when I pop my clogs, it's up to my daughter to say to do her thing. But and she's got instructions, and Kez, I said to her, "I've Kez, already given
there'll
her
be no clogs. Popping of there's no popping of clogs in the next 10 years, okay? No popping of clogs, just
yes,
yet.
Mother." Holly, tell her to behave herself. She's on Tony TV.
You know, the one thing I'll share with yeah. you about something that someone had shared with me, and she had experienced a lot of grief in her lifetime.
Yeah.
And I was questioning something, you know, mm. I think that it's common. You start saying like, I yeah. should have been like, I hadn't been in the room when he died. No. So I was really feeling a lot of guilt around that. Mm. And I shared yeah. that with her. And she said, you know, this is life and you're not supposed to get it right.
That's excellent advice. I like that. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We aren't supposed to get it right, are we? It's a no. learning experience. Mm-hmm. And chances are that brief moment of passing when the soul leaves the body, the chances are that someone's not going to be there in every instance, and we are born solo, so the passing will be a solo experience too. How did you get through that, Holly, that feeling that of guilt, really?
You know, talking with her really did help a lot. You know, that was, you know, like I guess I had been sitting with that for a period of time. And when I shared it with her, I mean, it was just kind of like, it was like she took like a bunch of weight off my shoulders. You know, I just really, and I guess like every, you know, just really just a day at a time and just looking forward to something. Like, actually, the kids were in hockey. They were in soccer, first of all, and then in hockey. So when we had hockey, it was a pretty busy time. So, you know, we get ready for the next game or the next practice or something, you know.
You've got two boys, Holly, right?
Yes.
Yes. So how did they cope themselves with the difficult, I mean, they would be coming to you to share their grief. That must have been hard for you as well.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, it was so sad for them being young. So they were 9 and 13. Mm. And we were all really grateful that my 9-year-old did not have his father die on his birthday.
Oh.
It was so close. When he went into the hospice, that was probably everyone's greatest fear.
Mm.
And so we had the funeral about 5 days before his birthday.
Okay.
So then we had the birthday party, you know, the 5 days later. It was kind of soon, you know. People said to me, isn't it?
Yes.
Are you sure you want to have a birthday party? I'm like, well, yes. Like, I mean, you have to start.
Still alive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to get started on those first sometime. Yes, and, you know, I mean, otherwise it would have dragged it out to the next birthday, which would have been, I think it just would have been hard, way too hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, the kids had really good friends and they were around a lot. And the other thing, Facebook was actually I already had an account, but I definitely didn't use it prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my sons, the older one, he had a friend help him get an account set up. And actually, I think it was helpful because he could do some communicating, but not face-to-face, right?
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I often thought about that, you know, what it's like with the kids. The kids are grieving and you're grieving and it's just one big mucky pile and where do you go? What do you do? But there's people like you in this world that will talk to us and see us through it.
Yes, well, you know, you just have to keep, you know, on that, like with the one day and look forward to, like, really appreciate things that are to look forward to, like birthdays or like that hockey game or, you know, going to see some family, some other family, friends.
So, Holly, my next question to you, Tony's going to ask you a question.
No, sorry. I just had a question pop into my head about speaking of the children. Did you and your husband have conversations with them about what will happen after he passes, what he wanted the kids to do, he wanted the kids to remember him? Did were the kids old enough to have those conversations? Did you have those conversations?
Well, we didn't. We a little bit, like the kids. Yeah, like the kids. We didn't say to them, "Your father is dying."
Okay.
We told them that he had cancer.
Yeah.
And he was given 2 to 3 months.
Yes.
So. Wow. Then he actually had the opportunity to do a research project, so he lived for 10 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So the kids, we just, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, right? Like, there could have been a miracle, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
So we didn't say, and so this was like the 2 to 3 months would have been like August, September.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he started on the research and then had some good results at the beginning.
Yeah.
So at Christmas, we had had two sets of good results. So, yeah, it was amazing. Like in December, then the oncologist said, "Now be sure to really enjoy this Christmas."
Yeah.
So we went home, and the kids were, you know, what would you say? We all ended up in the kitchen in a circle. And so then he announced to the kids that things had gone, that it was another really good result, and that we're going to have a really good Christmas. And that it was the first day that we realized how in tune the kids were. I mean, they're kids. They know exactly what's going on. The youngest, he says, okay, so does that mean you'll still be around?
Oh.
So we're like, so of course, you know, but we didn't realize that, well, I guess probably it's unspoken. You know, everyone has the feeling. And it just seemed, I don't know, I am very much for talking about everything, but that just seemed a little too, you know, like, what if there had been a miracle? So, you know, kind of, we don't have to bring that up. Now, when it got near the end, we did. He wasn't very comfortable telling the kids that things weren't going to that it wouldn't be such a good outcome after a hospice. But I did tell them, because I knew that if I didn't tell them then, I thought if they were set up, I knew that I also would have to tell them about a death. Because it was pretty much imminent at that point. I mean, that really would have taken a miracle. So, but what he did do is leave some writing for them. So, you know, we definitely talked, you know, him and I talked about it all the time, and different ones would say, you know, it would be nice if he, you know, left, you know, something. And it just, that was hard to bring up.
That would be, It's a hard thing to discuss, isn't it? No matter who, what, where, or when, it's so hard to discuss.
Because they're relatively young boys that were dealing with something massive, you know, particularly the 13-year-old at a crucial point in his life when, you know, dad's become quite important. So I'm guessing that the writings that he left were very helpful for your son at that time.
So your advice for the living, Holly, as you said, was one day at a time. Is there any other advice you could give to those that know something's about to happen?
You know, I think it's really important to fill in things that are important to you. Like, like for one thing, don't leave the bucket list until you've got a diagnosis. If you've got that opportunity, start working on it right now.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think we were always waiting for something. You know, we're waiting for enough money, enough time. We want to finish it. And really, it doesn't matter if you finish it. It's important to start.
That's wonderful advice. Absolutely. I agree. Yes, it's important to start. So, Holly, if I put anyone in your direction, where would I tell them to go to buy your book?
They can go to hollyrosehollin.com, as well, all of the online retailers carry my book and ebook as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they carry them over here in Australia?
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Okay. On Amazon, yeah.
Okay, so I can buy a hard copy on Amazon if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Holly, Holly, you've got a newsletter and you've got a special offer for our audience. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I've recently added a novelette, and I actually want to do, I want to add a bit more to it, but I will be sending that out to anyone that joins the newsletter. I will send them a copy of that. And it is somewhat related. It's on one of the topics around what I share in my original book.
Yes.
It's
fantastic offer, Holly. That's fantastic. So for everyone listening, before we run out of time, you can jump onto Holly's website. That's hollyroseholland.com. And a pop-up box comes up and you just need to pop in your email address, and that way Holly knows to send you her novella. You've also on Holly's sites, you'll find the information about the grief counselling, the workshops and things that she does around grief. So if you're listening today and any of this conversation has brought up anything for you, please reach out to Holly.
Yeah.
And know that she has advice and lived experience in this realm. And a quick email, I'm sure Holly will be able to help you get through whatever it is that's causing you pain in that moment. The books that we've talked about today, The Colors of Me is available on Amazon across the world. Holly's books are available across the world. You can also get either of her books via her website, hollyroseholland.com. And I think that it's incredibly important that we keep having open, honest conversations about grief, what grief looks like, how you can prepare for grief, and some of the things that you might want to consider when you have a diagnosis or you're caring for someone in palliative care or someone in the family is preparing for their own death. Holly's book will help you with those things that you need to take care of. Mm. And Holly, I'm particularly grateful that you've been able to come on the show today. Kez, I'm going to hand over to you for a last question if you've got any. We've got about a minute left.
Okay, so I found that very interesting, Tony, when you said, Holly, because we haven't covered the fact that what we do when we know that we're dying. What do we do as the recipient of death? And I just thought, oh, we haven't covered that subject. So, Holly, the question's over to you. If someone said to you, I've been given 6 months, you know, would you be able to help them on that road as well?
Yes. Like the first thing I would do is fill in a lot of the charts that I have included at the back of the book. Of course, the will is very important. Make any arrangements with your lawyer. Things like what type of a funeral, or is it a funeral that you want? Who would attend? All those kinds of things. It's really important to have the and it's different, I know, in different countries, but how end of life arrangements too.
Yes.
So that can vary a lot. But you know, if at some point the thing is what we really found, as soon as with my husband, we had wills, but they weren't up to date. And which I think is very common. So we both did exactly the same. We did the same for both of us.
Yeah.
And that makes it easier for sure. Because honestly, you know, that person might be the one that has a diagnosis, but you might be the one that's killed on the way home in a car accident.
Yeah. It's very true.
Lovely ladies, we are unfortunately completely out of time. Holly, thank you. We're so grateful that you could come on the show today. Kez, have an amazing time camping traveling around the Margaret River. And audience, we will be back next week with another amazing author. Don't forget to jump on hollyrosehollander.com and contact Holly if you have any questions about grief. Kez, enjoy that road. And that, my friends, is our lot for this week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.